everybody, and good morning to those of you on the webcast and on the phone conference.
What a beautiful day.
You ever notice you take a deep breath and the feast is over? But I have a couple comments as we begin here. I had to think when the young children were playing the shofar and Stephen said we keep improving on that. Well, I thought it was shofar, show good. Wanted to thank many of you that gathered last evening for sort of a surprise birthday party dinner. I was really happy to have that. It's the first birthday dinner I've had at the feast in my life, other than at a restaurant one time, and that was a different experience. But just melted my heart. Very grateful. And so not everyone was able to be there, I understand that. But for me, it was very special. And those of you that kind of changed your plans and made that happen, I'm very grateful. I just want to thank you for that. I wanted to ask a prayer request. Bobby Edmonds, who was on the schedule to speak today, is home. He's really, really not feeling well. He has not been able to attend one feast day, from what I understand. He went down to New Orleans to be able to help out there, and then he was coming up here, and he's just been sick, and not going to blame anybody. It just happened. But I said to him this morning, a text, because he wasn't feeling very well at all. He was going to try to come up here, and I said, God will take care of you, not to worry. He said, I hope so, and that's not Bobby. So I know Bobby's not feeling well. He's had just stress and strain for a few weeks here, months actually, and he's part of the Gulf Coast Living God Ministries congregation down in Spanish Fort, very integral part of that, and family member and longtime family member of the Church of God. So please pray for Bobby Edmonds, if you would do that. And then also my phone has been just burning up this morning with texts from various prayer requests. And I thought, well, I'll read one, but they just kept coming. You know Ken Swiger, those of you that know Ken, he is the prayer request king. And from Common Faith Network, he's over in Destin, I believe that's where they changed to. And he's just been sending me many. And there are many serious requests. So we just ask God a blanket prayer for all of those individuals that suffer and are of need. So here we are in the last day 7 of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I trust we have had a wonderful feast. Indeed, I hope we have. And I hope that you have, as our sign says, been able to rejoice in the fear of the eternal and to understand more deeply what that means. We all carry many things with us into the body of Christ, from our experience, our opinion, our perspective. Fearing God means you fear God. You fear no man, but you fear God. And you serve Him. So I hope you've been able to also see that God is here. He's been here and is here. I hope you can see that better. All of us together can. We should have been able to by now see a striking contrast between the glorious and wonderful future. And that's something about the Feast of Tabernacles. We need to, in our messages and in fellowship, stay focused on what these days are about. We can have all kinds of other things that are important. But what are these feast days? Why are we here during this time? And so we should have a striking contrast between the future of what these days foreshadow and the desperate and miserable present of this world today. I would not be truthful if I said I'm looking forward Sunday morning to going back home to my routine. And a lot of that routine is godly and it's fine, but a lot of it is just a simple thing like going to Lowe's or Home Depot or Sam's Club or Costco or the post office or somewhere to eat or maybe your job. You know, if I were to ask how many of you are looking forward to going back and cutting hair, right? Probably. No. Yes. No. You know, all the things that are pertaining to that. But that's part of the lesson. Is I really appreciate Eric here, who knew he had the backup message, but didn't get a call till about 7:40 this morning, and he just took it cool as a cucumber. But I knew his hands were sweaty, so he had a little bit of trepidation there. Thank you for that message. And you kept saying, well, I'll be short and cut this. I thought, just talk. The worst thing that can happen is you hear less of me, and that's good, because what you were saying was very uplifting, encouraging. Thank you. But hardly a day goes by we don't have something that does not reflect, emphasis not reflect, God's way of life as a headline on the news. How many of you have seen headlines on the news that reflect what these days talk about? You may be able to find something if you search for hours and maybe change the words around a little bit. You got the political turmoil as we near election for the U.S. presidency. And if you think it's going to be over in November, surprise, I think it's going to become more intense. All the misinformation scattered about everything, including this virus. Right? That's not all accurate and true. Even some of the people on the other side that are, you know, the continuous financial troubles in the U.S. we're finally facing what has been ignored for decades. A white-haired gentleman back in 1986 admonished part of the body of Christ to prepare now to drastically reduce your standard of living. I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many of you did that? I was forced to prepare to drastically reduce it a couple years ago, and still am reducing that. But we need to understand that what these days picture is a different time, okay? And if we're not careful, we'll fall right back into, remember what it says, as in the days of Noah, they were giving and marriage and eating and drinking and life went on until what? The flood came on the earth. And there's a flood. There's a flood. It's a big flood. And it's way more than water. And it's already coming over the top of the dam. And you know, one of the little children was out here, found the button on the drinking fountain this morning. And they were just giggling and laughing, and they'd run over and it was spraying them, and they'd punch it, you know. And I thought, you know, that's cute. If I did that back when I was a kid, some deacon would have grabbed me by the ear and sent me home with my dad too, probably. So, but I thought, you know, they were just giggling, having fun. It wasn't really hurting anything. And yet, that water's coming over the dam, and we're like, yeah, you know, and do we see that? Now, fulfillment of prophecy is coming with it in this world we live in. That's being fulfilled too. So during these days, if we change our focus on why these days we're keeping them, and then tomorrow the eighth day or the last great day, either one is proper, that pictures a whole different part of God's plan. Very intricately important. But we build up to that. And daily as we go through what we go through, whatever it is we're doing, do we ask God to help us? And this is, here's my title for the guy that has to have a title all the time. You know, that's a whole new experience for some, but keep our focus on the kingdom of God. Our education system is now facing what has been brewing for decades, and we see it in the protests on a daily basis. That didn't just pop up out of nowhere. You know, the old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you don't plan, as God says, in the frontlets of your eyes and bound daily the truth of God to our children, guess what happens when they become big children? That's what we are. We're all big children, aren't we? Sometimes we act like it. But we're big children. And that's not a bad thing if we are doing what a child is supposed to do. You know, this has been commented before, but the church, the body of Christ, if you will, we all have a responsibility as husbands and wives and grandpas and granddads and all these grandmas and all these, the family, but it's not my responsibility to teach children this is the way of God. You're going to hear it in messages. Some have believed, you know, if we just have a camp somewhere or enough programs. How many programs have we seen? Use all the acronyms that some of you would be familiar with. You know, people still call and say, what do you have for the youth that to teach our children? I'm like, study your Bible, work at it. You're the one they're going to listen to. You're mom and dad. Well, I don't have time for that. Right? I've been involved in so many planning programs. Gail, remember back when in 95, and you get this big program rolled out, and what happens, it's incredible. The kids just, as they get older, kids are goats, okay? The youth get older, they just stay and become adults, and they don't go. They're here because of that program we created. No. But that doesn't mean we don't do our part. But as parents, and so as we go through the feast, I hope those of you, grandparents and parents, and with one another, talk about what these days mean. I hope we've done that. If not, there's, you know, the Sabbath's coming, and tomorrow, and the feast next year. So you're saying Christ isn't going to come back before next year. Well, there's a lot of things that have to happen. If he decides to, okay, great, but we may be keeping the feast again next year. And so, you might think the world has literally gone bonkers. Has any of you said since March? No, it isn't since March. This has been going on for a long time. We just didn't feel the pain of it. My wife and I did, being internationally and traveling regularly to serve the elect of God. We would come back, oh, thank you, we're back in the United States. Now it's like, maybe I should go over there and be better. It's gone crazy. Right? I mean, even the people from Tennessee don't drive fast enough here. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 3, please. Would you with me? Acts chapter 3. Brianna, I know you're on. Here's your Spanish. Echo, H-E-C-H-O. The book of Acts, I think that's right. Chapter 3, let's start at verse 19. You know, if I were to go down in the street corner somewhere in Montgomery, maybe down by that Irish pub we ate at the other night with the door that's obnoxious, that one. Repent, you therefore, and be converted. Converted to what? To how we see things? Or what we think is God's way? No, be converted, changed by God's Spirit, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Do you feel refreshed or are you worn out? I hope you're refreshed. I hope those of you online are spiritually refreshed and on the phone and here. You may be physically tired from staying up too late and eating too much and talking too much and all the things going on. But spiritually, I hope you're refreshed. I think we are. I know we are. But it says, from it shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. So God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So it was preached unto you. Now it's being fulfilled. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. So this is a pivotal verse. Restoring what's missing. You want to know what's missing? We just need a different president. No. We just need a better banking system. No. We just need everybody to be in our fellowship. No. What we need is the restoration of the government of God. And I think there's going to be some surprises, because I can tell you this as a minister, I have my perspective based on years of studying and sermons and discussion, and there's some things I think this is how it's going to be, and I know God's going to come back and say, you know, you really tried, and you had this and this okay, but you really have no clue on this. And I hope I'm humble enough to say, yes, Lord. That's one thing I've seen in my 60th year. Not quite as old as some of you, not quite as young as some of you either. But what I've seen is every perspective you can imagine, including my own, of what the Scripture says. And we thunder it. As ministers, we thunder it. We proclaim it. We say, this is it. God's moving me to do this. And he may say yes, and he may say no. He may say, well, you're trying, brother. Go for it. I'm helping you. And we see through a glass darkly, and we learn. But this verse, it says, until the times of restitution of all things. That's, if I were to say, all things here are being thrown out after the feast. You'd be looking at each other and the place. You'd be like, well, what do you mean? All things. The restoration of that. I mean, to put it back where God intended it. And that's what the feast pictures. That process of going through that. And frankly, most of the world simply has no idea what's about to happen in the future. It stumbles on the best it can. Does it know the solutions? Boy, it sure tries, doesn't it? And honestly, not really even understanding the problems. I learned many years ago in studying, in postgraduate studies, that the definition of insanity, anybody know what that is? You keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Would you say we've been doing that in the world, and unfortunately, maybe in the body of Christ at times? We just keep doing the same thing over and we expect a different result. Cameron's a baker. Pastry, dessert, expert almost, I think. In my opinion, for me, my limited ability. I've never had anything, we were discussing this last night, that you've made that's bad. It's just good. But do you change ingredients sometimes to get things a little better, and you learn, hey, this would be better if I added less of this and more of this? And the people that are eating it say, well, if you had a little bit more of this, a little less of that, and like I say to my wife, a little less seasoning, she likes it needs more. I'm like, it needs less. So you have variances. But if you keep making the same thing and you don't put enough salt or sugar or I don't know, the ingredients I'll mention probably aren't even in some desserts, but you're going to say, nah, that just doesn't taste so good. Yeah, but if I add 3 teaspoons of salt in this, it will be really good because I like salt. And somebody may say, nobody's buying it, nobody wants it, nobody will eat it. Well, why? Because you're expecting different results, but you're doing the same thing. And so the world honestly doesn't understand the problems. They try, but they don't. And in all these things, though, are noticed, and what is coming is foremost in God's mind. You know that? He knows what's going on. And he is completely and entirely focused on what's happening and what he wants to happen, because he's promised something very, very, doesn't describe it, different, better, and holy. I think we're going to find, I believe we're going to find, the word holy is much different than what we think holy is. Because we have through our lens what we think holy is. And we do the best we can, and God's Spirit's in us, and we're learning. But he says, be you holy as I am holy. How many of you are holy like Jesus Christ? We're sure trying. And we ask for his mercy, and we keep going, and he's in us, and so we are in part, but we're not holy like he is. The government of God, the very literal government of God, should be foremost in our minds and lives, because this world desperately needs this coming and that coming kingdom. It's been my experience in 55 years of the Church of God plus that some of us, it used to be most of us, but some of us will arrive home after the feast and the last day, great day or eighth day, on a very real spiritual high. I mean, we're ready to bring it on. We will say that sometimes. And soon after, if we're not careful, the reality we live in sets in and we get back to our normal routine and we start to become fleshly again. And be careful to say, well, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. I'm going to be spiritual. You know? Whatever's thrown at me, I'm going to be spiritual. You remember Peter? I'll never deny you, Lord. No way, man. He even picked up dirt and threw it in the air and used foul language. I will never do this. And then what? The third time he said, I'll never deny you, and I don't know this man. Oh boy, like this morning, right? I heard that, and every time I hear that rooster crow, I think of, have I denied my Lord? There are some very real lessons from observing God's feasts we need to hang on to and keep them bound in the front of our eyes and in our hearts and minds. Revelation chapter 11. Let's go there, please. Revelation chapter 11. And I want to read two or three verses here, and I want to make some comments, if I might. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel, this is the third woe, sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are gone, because they are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. They didn't say, here, you listen. We're with God. You listen to what we tell you. No, they bowed down before the living God and fell on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are, was, and art to come, because you have taken of you your great power and have reigned. And all the nations said, hallelujah! No. The nations were angry. Their wrath has come in the time of the dead. You know, that Greek ethna, meaning nations, that they should be judged, and you should give every word unto the servants, the prophets, and the saints, and them that fear his name. Right there. To fear of the Lord, to fear his name. Small and great, and should destroy them which corrupt the earth, or destroy it. The kingdom of God, friends, is not some feeling in your heart. Some emotional movement. Okay? It is not some kind of churchy organization that will seek to bring out the inner good in man. It is not, as some believe, the turn of the century, the British monarchy and empire. It's none of those things. But it is a literal government, a kingdom that will take over the rulership and authority of every government in the world, anything you can come up with. No democracy, it won't take over that. I think it was Winston Churchill that said, democracy is the best form of government, except for all those others man has tried from time to time. The only problem is, we're not a democracy here. Did you realize that? Our government? Some consternated looks. We're a Federalist Republic. Well, what's that? That's a whole other message. What type of government does God have? Have you thought about that during the feast? We should hear about that during the feast. Because there will no longer be a United States Congress, a British Parliament, an Israeli Knesset, a president, prime minister, head of state, grand poopah, we heard last night watching that video, you know, Bubba, illustrious potentate, whatever you want to call them. Now you're curious, right? All of these will cease to be, and all authority and ruling power will be vested entirely in the kingdom of God, administrated through Jesus Christ right here on earth. I remember, I want to take you back with me for a minute to the Feast of Tabernacles in Argentina in 2003. The stark reality for me to how earthly governments rule was made even more apparent. Because right near there, where we were keeping it, to the north was the country of Bolivia that I've spent quite a bit of time in as well. And the residents of the country were up in arms and very upset with the government. They began to blow up roads, not letting anyone pass either way. You know, I remember one feast being notified by the sources we had before the feast was finished. It wasn't even to the eighth day or last great day. You need to leave now. You need to take back roads and kind of under the secrecy, and you need to get out of here because there's a huge demonstration. And sure enough, what did they do? The airport we were going to fly out of, thousands of people with pitchforks and machetes and all the things they had. And we wouldn't have been able to get out of the country or even get there safely. Well, God could have parted it like the Red Sea, but I just didn't feel like asking him to do that much work. So we did our part, but it was kind of scary. You know, well, where are we going? Trust me, we got this. We're going to go this way. We're going to get you where you need to go. You just can't go this way. And you need to leave the feast early. And I recall some of the brethren were affected. The president of Bolivia wanted to export natural gas to the United States and Canada. But the citizens of Bolivia wanted to use that in their own country to better their own conditions. That's what we're facing here. Everybody wants his piece of the cake that's in there on the table. Doesn't want anybody else to have it. Right? I love watching sometimes just, and we do it as adults, but you know, you're like, okay, I'm not going to be the first in line, but man, I got my eyes on that piece of chicken. You know, you kind of like, and then you see somebody grab it, and you're like, oh, or maybe the cake, you see the little kid, and you watch some adult reach over, and they're like, you know, I want that piece. It's got a big red balloon on it or whatever. You don't think we're like that in life? Oh, yeah, aren't we? And so in history, Bolivia's only seaport was purported to be stolen by Chile, and Chile began charging them on items they wished to export, and it became a big mess. You know, we read about what's happening in this country, and hopefully I won't be censored on this public message because I mentioned this, but you know, we put sanctions on people left and right like it's thrown a napkin to somebody. We don't like China. This is just, I'm not secret knowledge. We don't like China. We don't like this. Who decides that? I have nothing against them. Who knows if what that they're doing? We don't know. Oh, yes, they're guilty of everything, right? Well, next week it might be a different country, right? We did that in the United States. It's those stinking Texans. You know, Vince is here. It's always Texans. They always create everything. Really? Maybe it was the Nebraskans that did it. Certainly wasn't Alabamans. I think that's what they're called. Is that right, Dave? Is it Alabamans? Bama? Whatever, yeah. Almost said... I almost said roll tide roll, but that's not what they're talking. You know, we point the finger at everybody. It's this group or that group, or and we're going to get this, we're going to get persecuted. They're going to say it's those nut jobs from the Church of God, the body of Christ they claim to be. They're the problem of everything. We already are in some things, right? We're the problem. And sometimes we are the problem. Sometimes we're not. But they're going to, you think there's anybody's, nobody likes to take the blame. Right? We don't like that. So let's go over, let's continue to read. Revelation, we're in chapter 11, I think. And verse 18, I want to go back and look at it. And though destroy them which corrupt or destroy the earth. Because of economic politics, war, and ignorance, mankind has successfully in destroying much of the precious world we've given to us. Now, this is not save the whales and worship Mother Earth, so stay with me. You know, I read this thing, this whole hurricane came because of man-made global warming. I'm not getting into that. That's a whole, I'll stay out of that. But rather than dressing and keeping, which he told in the Garden of Eden, we have ravaged, destroyed violent men with violent ways, have done violence to the earth. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Let's see what Christ had to say about this. Mark chapter 1. What did Jesus Christ preach? That's what we got to keep going back to. You know, I can preach all day, or half of it, till I run out of air or energy. Others of us can just talk. And teach God's way. And that's good and that's right. But we want to make sure, what did Christ preach and teach? What did he tell us that we need to be focused on? In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Wait a minute. God protects his servants all the time. They're never put in prison or harmed. Ever. Doesn't say that. Too many examples. Paul has a whole bunch of scriptures talking about all the things he went through. And I read that from time to time. I feel a whole lot better. But Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, give your heart to the Lord and your pocketbook to the pastor. And we'll preach the gospel for you. No. Since the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. This was back in 53 AD about. The time is at hand. Wait a minute. That's coming. Yes, but isn't it here in how we're supposed to live and think and our focus? Are we repenting and believing the gospel? Believing means to change, not force what maybe you think or what you've been taught, but the truth of God, to believe that gospel, that the kingdom of God, the government of God, is going to replace everything as we know it. What was the message that was so important that he had come as flesh and blood human to preach and die for? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. We're right here. Luke chapter 4. If you would, please, with me. And let's go to verse 42. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. You can't leave us. You got to stay here. And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So we need to remember what is after he had cast out the demons, the people there wanted him to stay and teach them more. And he said, I have to also do this. So he had a mission. Any of you wives ever tell your husband, you're always on a mission? Because usually husbands are driven and focused, and we tend to be more just locked in. That's a generality, I know. But sometimes our wives will say, but did you think about this? Boom, we got to get to Phoenix by sundown, right? We got to make 12 hours today. And your wife's like, how about 6 and hotel and nice dinner? No, we got to get there. Boom, 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 boom. We got to go, you know? Ready, aim, and then fire. Or are we ready, fire, and then, oh, man, we should have aimed a little closer. I do that. But he had a mission. Remember the movie and television series Star Trek? Anybody remember that? The old one. Right, going back. And at the beginning, our mission is to boldly go where no man has gone before. You might have felt like that this year coming to Montgomery. Right? Some of you are like, Montgomery? Montgomery for a feast site? I mean, it's not on the ocean. I heard that. I had people call, where's Montgomery? I'm like, seriously? Yeah, is it? What state is it? I'm Alabama. Is there, are there condos on the beach there? You drink enough wine, maybe. Why would you want, one person said, why would you want to come to Montgomery? I said, you don't have to. I said, I don't know if there's condos. You don't stay in a condo? I'm like, I got a great place to stay. It's not a condo. I think they have them here somewhere. I don't know. Maybe some of you stayed in one. Great. But I look out the window and I see other houses and people and trash cans and cats. No beach.
Can anything good come out of Montgomery?
Yeah. Eric, you aren't going to live very long. This is the part where you need to, yeah. I'm glad nobody heard that. But that was a famous saying, can anything good come out of where? They said that about Jesus Christ. He just said, can anything good come out of Montgomery? Shame on you. You need to repent. The kingdom of God is coming. Okay. But he had to preach the kingdom of God in other cities. He had a message to spread, and the message was his central focus. I dare say some of us, if we'd been around Jesus Christ, and he kept doing like some of us do, he talked about the same thing all the time. Once you know, I've known Stephen for a long time, you've known me for a long time, some of you are going to say, that's the same message, it's just got a different title. Right? Ministers do that. We're very creative. We try to create it so you don't know. Eric came up and saw my notes. He said, man, you gave that a long time ago. Well, it wasn't the same thing, because I'm definitely not following my notes, and if I don't hurry up, I'm going to make you all late for lunch again. Don't want to do that. But that message was his focus. Matthew chapter 10, what was the core of that message again? I just want to reaffirm what God taught. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Because this was the heart and core of the message he wanted his disciples to take out. In verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Gentiles enter you not, the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, exhort, encourage, inspire, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of us are willing to do that? I don't see a lot of Facebook posts, folks, sorry, that say, me included, well, on my personal Facebook, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh boy, he's lost his mind. Instead, watch the dog dance on top of a fork with a spoon in the other paw. Ooh, this is cool. How many likes can you get? What about the kingdom of God is at hand? We might get persecution for that. Right? Yeah, you will. They'll censor it. Then you don't have to worry. Maybe they won't catch it for a few weeks. I remember one time bringing up in an administrative meeting, because they talked about having all of these bumper stickers to advertise their television program. Some of you may have that. Not too many, but some do. I said, why don't we put on the back in a big bumper sticker and spend a little bit extra money, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what the response was? These were all ministers. Long time. No, that wouldn't fly. Why wouldn't it fly? Because you'd be called crazy. Right? I put on the back of my car the Living God Ministries Gulf Coast. Some question why I would do that. You wonder why? I don't mind if people ask, and if I'm driving like I shouldn't be, they're going to tell me. They're going to text me. They're going to send me a message. You just shot past us 10 miles an hour over. Right? But sometimes they're like, we had someone recently, right? Said, where can I get that? I would like it on my vehicle. I about fell over. I was like, whoa, I never thought of that. Why didn't I think of it? So we get out what we're doing. It doesn't mean we're the best, the biggest. No, that's not the purpose. Do we represent, you know, I don't see him in here, but there's a guy here, a good friend of mine, who has a shirt, says, not today, Satan. I asked my wife, I said, I don't know if I can wear that. Anybody else ask that question? Saw it? I did. I'm like, I don't know if I can wear that. Why not? Everything else is on written on people's shirts, you know? And so you expand your mind and you say, wait a minute. The disciples, the 12 of them, as they were going here, he sent them, he commanded them what? Preach the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand and it's coming. And in the body of Christ, for my 6 decades, we've talked about it, but that's somebody else's job. I'm not comfortable. What if they ask me, what is the kingdom of God? Is like they a Republican, Democrat, or neutral, or whatever, non-affiliated? He had that mission. They were to heal, to counsel, to provide comfort. No doubt they would encourage people to live better lives. and have Christian living type comments and messages, but they all taught and lived revolved around what was because of this coming kingdom. Let's go to Zechariah 14, please. Zechariah 14. My pages are sticking together this morning. Either I'm sweetie, as they used to say. I had a friend that couldn't pronounce sweaty in the Spanish sector. He'd say, I'm sweetie. I'd say, you're not sweetie. No, I'm sweetie. No, you're not sweetie. Gail would tell him, you're not sweetie. Try to explain to him what sweetie meant, and that didn't go so well. I don't know, did you finally give up, or did it finally make sense to him?
He got it.
He got it. Okay. Zechariah chapter 14. In verse 1, because we're told these times are coming. I have in my Bible, I like to mark my Bible. If you were to look at it, you would see 1,000 written down across those verses. Just wrote that in there. Zechariah 14, 1 through 9, we're told these times are coming. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, the spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, the city shall be taken. The houses rifled, the women ravished, half the city go forth to captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. They won't be in somebody's home, as one of the groups is now teaching. The leaders of one of those groups, Christ is coming back to their home. Honestly, can't people read the scripture? He's not coming back to Montgomery when he comes back. But I guess different Bibles have pieces missing. His feet will stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward the east, toward the west. There shall be a great valley, very great. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And don't ask me how that's going to happen. It just says it will. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. You shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, if you want to read about that. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. What's that mean? When was the last time we read some of these verses? It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day or night, but shall come to pass that at even time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half toward the other sea, Mediterranean. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name, one. How much do we think about this? Or do you and I'm saying you and I, or you and me, we get caught in the pace of life, we forget that these things are real and they're coming. In verse 5, the word saints comes from the Hebrew word meaning holy. When it's used for people, it means people who are holy because of their relationship with God. It's the same word used in Exodus 19:16. You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And in going through in verse 8 and 9, it says, then comes the moment we've been waiting for. Right? Is that what we're living for? The focus of our lives. Are you living every moment today for this time in the near future? Yeah, yes, it's difficult because there's so many, who was it said, things you bring to the feast, right? There's so many things. Have any of you ever thought, if I could just get rid of a lot of the things, it'd be a lot simpler? And then you start and you're like, no, I need that. No, I need that. I might need that, right? I might need that. And sure enough, if you get rid of it, then you need it. There's a song years ago about stuff, how you collect stuff and then you build more barns and more houses for stuff. And then when you die, all your kids separate all your stuff and then they die and the stuff just keeps getting passed on. There are positive signs. This sounds terrible, but there are positive things when hurricanes hit. A lot of the buildings that were built decades ago with really bad codes that can't withstand, when they put new, they have a lot of these newer codes that are stronger and better to withstand things. One of my favorite, not so favorite, candy bar wrappers inside said, sometimes things have to fall apart before they fall together. So God says, you're holding on to this world, all this stuff, forsake mother, father, sister, brother, and yes, your own life also. We understand that. We got it, God, as long as it ain't me. So he says, you got to get rid of all your stuff. Whoa! What do you mean? And there's the internal, the heart, the mind. But there's other things too. He said, all that doesn't matter. Everyone, verse 16, will be coming to Jerusalem. We heard that in the message, the first one. To keep the days we're observing. They will worship the God of creation with humility, sincerity, giving the honor he is due. In verse 20 to 21, let's just go ahead and jump up and read that. Or read that. In that day, verse 20, there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem shall, in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And I want to make a comment about that too. But look at how much a part of their lives their worship of God will be. When you're making a cake, do you say this bowl is holy? You hope not, unless you're sifting something. Do we think that? Do you look in the mirror and say, stay with me on this, because Christ lives in me, I'm holy. Does that change? All right? Reminders of the God of creation will be everywhere, not out of some kind of show of piety, but a sincere desire to honor him in everything we do. Do we come close to the level of keeping that kingdom of God burning brightly in front of us on a daily basis? How much of a part of us is he? I started the feast by saying God is here. God is here. He's in us and he's here. Do we see him? Do we see that? Too many, and I know I've got a bigger audience out there, and publicly this is recorded, too many simply want to be part of a fellowship or a church to save their hides. Or because their friends attend there. Or they like the minister. Or they like the magazine. Or they like the whatever it is. And that can be part of it. But that's not the reason to be part of the body of Christ. Never has been. Must not be. It says here, no longer will there be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Well, that stinks. If you're a Canaanite. There won't be anyone of Gentile extract in the kingdom. That's what that word means. That's an absurd conclusion. It means there won't be anyone who is a stranger who is estranged to God. You ever felt estranged to God at times? I have. I'm just like, things aren't just right. I don't feel like we're... You ever had this? Your prayer seems like it stops right here and you can't seem to penetrate that? It says there won't be anyone who is a stranger. All who are there will be part of the kingdom intimately. Micah chapter 4, let's go over there, please, since we're right here in the not-so-minor prophets. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and the people will flow to it. There's going to be a steady stream. They're going to flow to it. Mountain is figuratively a symbol of strength and stability. And many nations will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the Lord of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. You know, we sing that, don't we? For the law shall go forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among people and rebuke strong nations way off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. So what this tells me, if they're all under his vine and his fig tree, that there's not going to be a socialistic communist government ruling it that says, we own it, we'll let you sit under it, but it's ours. Did you read that? People say, you get too whacked out about some of this. Well, I just read the Bible. And it says, I'm going to have a vine and a fig tree, and none shall make me afraid. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Doesn't mean after the last great day of the eighth day, we got to go back to the other gods. From David's kingdom in Psalm chapter 30, verse 7, to the Chaldean kingdom, Jeremiah 51, 25, to the kingdom of God. From this kingdom will come teaching. Teaching about the laws of his kingdom. Do we understand what the laws of his kingdom are? Those are good questions to ask. You know, that'd be good topics for fellowship. What are the laws of the kingdom going to be? Simple, right? What does it stand for? What will the citizens be required, and what does it promise them? The saints of the Most High God, which is you and I, there to help, will have a responsibility in teaching those things. So why do we need to know it now? That's the minister's job. No, it's not. We're all part of the body of Christ. I was baptized just like you. Came up out of that water, forgiven for that short millisecond. Received the Spirit of the living God. And then the fun began. To learn what it meant to be a new creation. I figure about the time I get it figured out completely, I'll be there. Some of you gathered around saying, you're a good guy, we hope. We'll see you on the other side. Right? When you're resurrected from that dirt nap. That process. We will not be there to simply teach to submit. Boy, I'll break you with a rod of iron. That'll teach you. Nobody likes that. But have a relationship with God. I look as I drive through Montgomery and I see the various people and situations and things, and you know, you just watch it all happen. I pray, God, bring your kingdom so they can have a relationship with you someday. And that takes it away from us and focuses it out. Amos chapter 9, I'll let you look it up later if you would, please. I'd ask you to. Verse 13 to 15. It contrasts what we read and what we're living right now. From the frenetic and frantic and harried life we keep up with today, where I like to say the rats are the only ones winning the rat race. Although during a recent hurricane with all the flooding, I found two huge dead rats in the road. So not all of them are winning. It says, no longer shall they be pulled up. You know, my mind cannot grasp the concept of living in one place more than a few years. I've mentioned, since we've been married, my wife and I have lived in several places. When I moved to college, I moved 12 times in 10 years. And as of a couple months ago, we have now lived in Spanish Fort for 3 years. Woo! You're thinking, hey, I've lived here for 60 years or 70. You know, Mrs. Loveman's lived in that house, or parents or grandparents, or when the pilgrims came over in the Mayflower or whatever, you know. I have no concept what that's like. And we're not planning on moving or being transferred. I'm not sure how that would happen if it ever did happen. But we have to keep God's promises of what is coming. And we read about this, and yet sometimes people will say, oh man, we hear this every year. They get tired of it. They want something more exciting, something new that God's revealing. right? Some lose interest and walk away. Some think, I've heard everything already, and this is better. Some will say, I want meat, carne, I don't want milk. Except for one person asked me for milk. Right? Yeah. Okay. Matthew chapter 19. Let's go over there quickly here, as Eric would say. Matthew 19. And I realize some of you are hungry, but we haven't gone 2 hours yet, and I just want to, this is my last chance for this feast. I want to talk about some of these. We need to. Matthew 19, verse 27. Here we see part of the reason. Thankfully, none of us is like Peter. I never have been. I know you haven't either. But Matthew 19, verse 27, I'm being facetious. Peter answered and said, Behold, we have forsaken everything and followed you. What shall we have therefore? So we've done all this, what do we get? And Jesus said, Truly, I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, you know, changed the spirit, that rebirth, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. You're going to inherit a much larger wealth. We try so hard to prepare for our retirement in the future. And we should plan. Don't just frivolously live one day at a time. But God says, that can go away. You know, 2 days ago, I meant it. I just said, I'm not watching the news because I can't do a thing about it. If my house gets blown to bits with a Category 15 or whatever, you know, some of them are like, I hate to bring the news to you, but it's now in a Category 4. So says the news. And if it had, and I lost it, well, Nancy, I guess I would have been paying rent for a couple days. Right? We try to hold on to everything. And if you try too hard to hold on to everything, God will take it away. Or allow it to be taken away. And he says, but look at the promise, the reward. Many that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What's that mean? Like Peter, sometimes we begin to feel sorry of the struggles we go through. And I'm not making light of any of it. You know, look at the Friday night games or the job that I lost. Right? I can look at it and say, look, I used to be able to travel all over the world and have all these people to serve and teach at a college and go on, all these things. God said, you don't need to do all that. And I said, yes, I do. You told me to do it. He said, are you sure? Not fair. They're restructuring. I'm losing my job. I've been here for 20 years. Sorry. These other folks can do a lot better job. I know you don't speak their language, but they know better than you. It's hard, isn't it? Right? Or you stand up and say, I have to teach the truth or live the truth, and someone says that you thought was your brother or sister and taught the same thing. No, no, we're going to teach this now. It's not easy. Your health goes. Your vision goes. Right? You can't walk. Hardly at all, right? What do we get? Christ patiently assured Peter, and by extension all of us, the reward is worth the cost. But Christ had to have been shaking his head to agree by seeing how short-sighted and self-focused Peter was. You know, I used to take enjoyment about, man, I plan ahead 5, 10, 15 years. And one day it hit me, and I still do it. I still plan. That's the way I am. I'm wired that way. But I need to remember, what is God's plan? How does mine fit in there? Does it really matter? Some of it does, some of it doesn't. Some of it's not important at all. These questions can come from living for ourselves, not from living for the kingdom of God. Psalm chapter 69. And I'll just, you can look at it later. Verses 1 to 13, if you'd please read it. David had troubles in his life, frankly, more than most of us have faced. As a leader of the nation, he was concerned that all his sins and actions would cause the faith of others to falter. What a contrast to some of our modern national leaders. Yet in all of this, David continually turned to God for help. He never forgot where his strength was or what he was living for. That's why in Acts 13, I think verse 21, 22, he said he was a man after God's own heart. David in chapter 63, verse 1, pictures his life described similar to back in Zechariah 14. God, the kingdom, the laws, the future, the focus. That's the calling we've been given. And that calling, as we talk about during these days of the Feast of Tabernacles, the world again is just rolling on. And it's going to go past the election. And it's just going to keep going in the U.S. and the world. Until all of a sudden, oops, just like that match Eric had, it's going to burn their fingers. Isn't it? And some are going to be saying, we've been telling you for decades, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdoms of this world have and are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. We are told to keep the commandments. He obeys my voice and trembles at my word, to bury the old man and put on the new man. We're a spiritual creation. How important are these feast days? Tomorrow's a holy day. God's Sabbath is coming. About 30 years ago, I asked a question during a message. I said, if I were told Christ was going to return, this was the date, and I knew that emphatically. The Lord spoke to me and revealed that. And people knew that, and they believed it. They would be attending everything they could. They'd be praying and studying as if their life depended on it. But what happened? What happens? The gospel of the kingdom of God, the message Christ came to live, preach, and die for, has to be at the center of our beings and our lives. We live for it, we struggle, we sacrifice, and if time be long enough, we will die with the hope of it. It's the government of God that will be here in the future to introduce the world to a life it has never known. And brethren and friends, you and I must keep fresh in our mind our responsibility in loyalty to God, our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His government. It has to be our faith, our hope, our calling, our life. And we look forward to tomorrow, the eighth day or the last great day of the feast. We're going to talk more about what the fulfillment of that day means in God's plan. As Buzz Lightyear said, how many remember Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story? To infinity and beyond, God's kingdom come. And it is coming. Focus on that kingdom. Focus on being ready. Focus on growing in grace and knowledge in the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God. And then, as I like to say, and it's infectious, it's catching to some, arms up. And let's keep going.